Well, today I want to start off by reading this passage of Scripture. It's long, so bear with me. But we're talking from reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 12, through chapter 2, through verse 16. And Paul starts off with saying, "For our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity, not by earthly wisdom, but by the grace of God, and supremely so toward you. For we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understand. And I hope you will fully understand, just as you did partially understand us on the day of the Lord Jesus. You will boast of us as we will boast of you. Because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience of grace. I wanted to visit you on my way to Macedonia and to come back to you from Macedonia and have you send me on my way to Judea. Was I vacillating when I wanted to do this? Do I make my plans according to the flesh, ready to say yes, yes, or no, no, and at the same time? As surely as God is faithful, our word to you has not been yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, whom we proclaimed, and among you, Silvanus and Timothy, and I was not yes and no, but in him, Jesus, it is always yes. For all the promises of God find their yes in him. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. But I call God to witness against me. It was to spare you that I refrained from coming again to Corinth. Not that we lord it over your faith, but we work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. For I made up my mind not to make another painful visit to you, for if I cause you pain, who is there to make glad but the one whom I have pained? And I wrote as I did, so that when I came, I might not suffer pain for those who would have made me rejoice. For I felt sure of all of you that my joy would be the joy of you all. For I wrote to you out of much affliction and anguish of heart and with many tears, not to cause your pain, but to let you know the abundant love that I have for you. Now, if anyone has caused pain, he has caused it not to me, but in some measure, not to put it too severely, to all of you. For such a one, this punishment by the majority is enough. So you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him, or he may be overwhelmed by excessive sorrow. So I beg you to reaffirm your love for him, for this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Anyone whom you forgive, I also forgive. Indeed, what I have forgiven, if I have forgiven anything, has been for your sake and in the presence of Christ, so that we would not be outwitted by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his design. When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus here. So I took leave of them and went on to Macedonia. But thanks be to God, who is in Christ, always leads us in triumphal procession, and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who have been saved, and among those who are perishing. To one a fragrance from death to death, to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? May God add his blessing to his word. And when I was preparing this message, it's like, okay, Lord, what do you want me to say? I saw a half a dozen messages in this passage, and there's more than that. And so as I was thinking about coming in here and presenting this, I thought, what can I say to my brothers and sisters in Christ that they don't already know? Because when I look across this congregation, I see a whole group of faithful young people. And I look around and there's a bunch of us older folks like myself. Thank God. How do you reconcile that? Because that's what this message is about, reconciling ourselves to God. And how we go about reconciling ourselves to God determines how we reconcile to each other. Because we each here, whether you're young or whether you're old, have to deal with our own selfish desires. Now, having said that, I put a little picture of a life preserver up here at the top. If you disagree with what I'm saying, I'm going to go out into some deep water here. Throw me a life preserver. Don't come and push me down farther. But what I like for my journey with the Lord is reminders. I've read a lot of books, and I was used to be very good at saying how somebody else did it. This is what we ought to do. Or I wish I could do this. But here's a little cross. I learned about these when I was on Emmaus walk. And when you gave a talk, you always held a little cross in your hand. This little cross came from Linda's sister, Missy. This here coin is the spiritual armor, a reminder of the spiritual armor of God. I carry those with me all the time. Now, I can tell you this, that in my pocket, they do me absolutely no good. They're only a reminder. And that's what we have to deal with when we're out in the world. And so I'll try to get into some of those things a little bit deeper, and hopefully you will think about not what I'm saying, not what this old man has done or any of my stories, but focus, young people, on the Word of God. You are at a time in your life where you're going to make decisions that are going to affect the rest of your life. And so just a little bit to bring us up to where I'm at in this message, I remembered as I was studying or reading over this that in my life, I was born into dependence. I was a little, believe it or not, kids, there was a time when I was your age. And there was even younger than that. And I don't want to go into the details of what it took my mom and dad to take care of me. Any of you who are parents knows what that takes. The baby is totally dependent. So around age two, anyone here have any idea what to call age two? The terrible twos? Huh? All of you were there at one time. And from that day forward, I went from being dependent to trying to figure out how to be independent. And we live in a nation that revels in independence. Check that out according to God's Word. Because what I discovered was, as I grew into independence, when I accepted Christ, His Word leads me back into dependence in Him. In Christ. So I want to start off with a passage of Scripture here. And this message is titled, The Ministry of Reconciliation. And so when we look at the whole book of 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, these are letters that are written to the Corinthian people. Now imagine while I'm presenting this today that you have just received the second letter that you have received from someone. And it's 20 pages long. I can't imagine that. I've never received one 20 pages long. But when I was looking at this passage, or this book, I was looking at 2 Corinthians 5:16 and 21, and here's what it says. From now on, therefore, and remember that therefore, because that takes in everything that was written in 1 Corinthians and anything that was written therefore before. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh. Already he's meddling. I'm not allowed to dislike someone. I'm not allowed to carry grudges around. I'm not allowed to... Whoa. So therefore we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh, we regard him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone... Now listen to this carefully. Young people, old people, anything in the middle. Now I can say that because I'm old. In any case, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now I want you to think about this. In Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God. How'd the song go? It's what he did. If it was based on what I did, I wouldn't be standing here today. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ. God making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he, Jesus, made him to be sin, or God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In Christ. Now there's a few things that I use in my devotions daily. I want them reminders. Remember, I mentioned the little cross, and I stuck that back in my pocket. So used to putting it in there. But I want to be reminded of this every day. And so the first thing that I have to remind myself that it's a new day, because the scriptures tells me that. And I look at this little things I have written down to remind myself, and I have the word believe. And the question that I have wrestled with for years was, do I believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus? How many here believe in Jesus? Hey, amen. That'll get a good response. Now, do you believe Jesus? Do you believe him? Amen. There's a difference. I found that after 22 years going into the jail, almost every guy sitting there in jail believes in Jesus. A lot of them believe in Jesus. Are they following Jesus? That would be my next question. How are you following him? And so, along with believing, then, I want to give you a word of encouragement. Actually, God is giving us a word of encouragement. Now, there's many words of encouragement, but this was the one that I wrote down. So I want to think about this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me for the sake of Christ. Then I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, I am strong. Now, I don't know about you. I can only answer for myself. But every once in a while, that ugly old flesh just wants to jump out and act up. That little two-year-old that I've tried to suppress all these years, every once in a while, he comes back and says, hey, let's cause some problems here. And so as we look at Paul... Actually, I want to back up just a moment there and remind each one of us of last week's message that Judea gave on comfort and suffering. Now, each one of us interpret God's word sometimes to satisfy ourselves, but what I believe that passage says and what Judea brought out well was that comfort and suffering are on the same path. They walk with us all the time. You can be comforted by something and at the same time get a phone call and be suffering for something. There are those in here that are walking with Christ. They love the Lord. They're comforted in that. And yet, in their physical bodies, in their families, they're suffering. How do we reconcile that? In Christ. It's a daily, daily walk. And so when we look at verse there, 12, it says they behaved in the world with simplicity and godly sincerity. That's why I want to examine myself daily. Jeremiah the prophet said in chapter 6 and verse 16, to stand at the crossroad and look for the old path. The path that God has laid out for us. It's straight, it's narrow. And let us remember that, but by the grace of God, we wouldn't be on that path. I wouldn't be. And as we go on, in verse 13 there, it says, for we are not writing to you anything other than what you read and understood. I hope you will fully understand. And that's something that I discovered many years ago. The traditions that I grew up in, everything was black and white. You either believed like us, or you were wrong. The problem that I ran into with that was is there were other folks who believed the same thing, only they didn't believe what I believed. They were right, and I was wrong. And so the battle became one of who's right, who's wrong. What church can I go to? There's only one church, folks. There's only one. And so that's what this message is about, is reconciling ourselves to each other. I can stand here and I figure out a message. And I was thinking about this when I was in office. What could I say to the young people? What would mean anything to them from an old gray hair like me? And I've used that same line at the jail. Inmates, they've broken all kinds of laws. But I want to tell you something. When God looks down on us, He's asking you and I to go and carry His message forth, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what I was doing in the jail. That's what you're doing on your job. That's what you're doing in your business. That's what we do in our homes. That's what we do in our neighborhoods. And we'll talk about that a little bit more here in a moment, what that looks like. You heard me mention on the day of our Lord Jesus, what are we boasting about? What he did, what he's doing, what he's going to do. And it requires each of us, you young people, wherever you go, whatever your career is, all the things, all the words that the world uses that moves us in a particular direction, always remember one thing. Look for the old path. The one that God has laid out there. The one that will lead us in Christ Jesus to glory and when He returns. That's what He's going to ask you. What do you want to boast about? If I am standing here before you and I'm not a Paul. Paul wrote this, but I'm not a Paul. I don't have them kind of credentials. I have nothing to boast about. Except one thing, what God has done because He loves me so much, He loves you so much that He gave Remember that word, gave. He gave his one and only son. He expects no less of us. He wants us to give our lives to serving. Now at the same time, and this is where it gets difficult, is Paul is writing about this journey to Corinth. This is his second letter. And if you could imagine for a moment, I tried to imagine this and I couldn't. But here at Grace, we receive the book of Corinthians. The man has never been to our church. Think about this for a moment. I don't know if you've ever read this or not. I read a caption. It was a resume that was turned into a church. Didn't have any particular name on it, but it was Paul. And the church rejected him. There's not many churches that would take Paul as their pastor. Think about that. But Paul is writing this to the Corinthians. And he's talking about loving them. And so in verse 21 there it says, "And it is God who establishes us in Christ, and he has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." Wow. A guarantee. I almost remember when I was as young as these folks sitting back here. They're just graduating. And I told my dad, I said, "I want to guarantee you one thing. When I get out of school, this is what I'm going to do." You know what he did? Anybody got any idea what my dad did? He laughed. Okay, so that's good if you can do that. He laughed. Actually, folks, when I was 18, got out of high school, I knew everything. I didn't really need anything else. And I got a little farther down the road and had a few children and a wife, and I realized all of a sudden I didn't know a whole lot of anything. My dad got smart real fast there. But what I want to remind us, and I want to remind the young people, and I know, and I would encourage you all to spend time reading this passage of Scripture. I can tell you, and I don't say this boasting or bragging, but to prepare this message, I imagine I've read through every day for the last 2 weeks, I've read through this passage at least once. Some days it was two or three times. Just try to understand. You see, what happens when we actually go into God's Word and understand, we believe and we understand that the way for the Holy Spirit to work through us is that we go through that word. And how many of you here have read the Word of God, and then a month later you read the same passage and it says, doesn't sound like the same passage. Well, it said that said something this time and it doesn't say it this time, but it says this. It's the living Word of God. And so there's much here, much more than I can bring out. In many ways, I feel so inadequate to even stand here before most of you, all of you. And then when we think of our lives, how many of you here have made plans? And before you even start to implement them, the plan changes. Anybody ever had that happen? Huh? I thought I was the only one. Well, Paul has a change of plans. He's writing this, and all of a sudden, he comes along and he says, "But I call God to witness against me." He's basically saying there that if this isn't the truth, then God can just take my life. I read that in a commentary, so I can't take credit for that. You may have a different rendition of that. But the point is, Paul's trying to make a point, and he wants to boast that it is in Christ we find the answer. And so as we move forward here, as I said, be patient with me, because when we look at this passage, you may say, well, he's leaving a lot out. You're right. But when we look at verse 24, it says, Paul says, not that we lord it over your faith. And this is the point that I want to make. We work with you for your joy, for you stand firm in your faith. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this a little bit. That's the desire of my heart as a part of this congregation, is that we can all work together so that we all share in the joy of Jesus Christ. All coming together. Now, in the midst of all this, remember, I mentioned something about encouragement, thinking about that, thinking about what I say, being quick to ask for forgiveness when I say something I shouldn't say. Those all work together. So there's a challenge that goes with this. Each one of us, I'm going to share my challenge, how I handle that, because the challenge is to act out what God's Word says, to act it out. So, again, in 2 Corinthians, going up to chapter 7, you're going to get this again later on. Since we have these promises, Christ has promised each one of the young people here that he will give them life in Christ Jesus. He's promised every one of us that we have life in Christ Jesus, in his word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was the Word. I can't overemphasize the importance of being in God's Word regularly. But here Paul then interjects an appeal to forgive an offender or someone who has sinned. Again, making reference back to the jail. I was in there, going in and out of there up until COVID. It took me a number of years to realize that my purpose for going into that jail was one thing, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not to judge, not to lawyer, not to even be a friend, just to share the gospel. Now, if a friendship develops out of that, that's a different story altogether. But share the gospel message. So, in the midst of this, Paul says in verse 7, so you should rather turn to forgive and comfort him. Someone does something, the Word of God says, to comfort them. To comfort them. Forgive and comfort. Anyone in here? No, you don't have to raise your hands on this one. Anyone in here need to go forgive someone? Think about that. He's forgiven us. Whatever it is you're doing in your life, he's done it first. He's paved the way. He's the first. As we follow Jesus, he forgave and he comforts us. So I beg you to, in verse 8, reaffirm your love for him. For this is why I wrote, that I might test you and know whether you are obedient in everything. Has anyone here ever carried a grudge around it? What happens when you carry something around you know you shouldn't carry? I did that one time. I did it probably more than once. But at a particular time, I may have told you this story before, but I was with a brother in church. We were friends. We went sailing together. We had a room in the back of the church, and before the service, or during the service, we'd be back there, a group of us, praying. And we come out of there one day, and he goes, Jerry, I don't like the way you pray. Whoa. That's like somebody saying, hey, Jerry, you're ugly. It doesn't go over very good. You think about that. It starts to dig its way in. Have you ever carried around something that you shouldn't? I carried that around for 6 months. It got to the point where I would come into church and I'd go the other way. In church. And one day I was actually hurting. My back was starting to even hurt. And I was sitting there, I was laying, Lord, I said, this has got to stop. This has got to stop. He was wrong. Why can't he come and ask me to forgive? What? The Lord says, what about all those thoughts you've had about him? Whoa. You know the Lord's like that? He makes us, now think about this. When we take communion, what does it say? Examine yourself. I hear grace we get usually every 2 weeks. We have a chance to examine yourself. I would suggest you do it every day, but at least every 2 weeks. Examine yourselves. And when I examined myself, I had to go to him and ask him to forgive me the thoughts that I have. You know what he did? He laughed. You got to know this guy. He laughed at me. He forgot. He didn't even know what he did. Have you ever had something start to work in your mind? Does this person like me? What did they mean by they said that? You start thinking about something and it grows. And this is what Paul is saying here. Forgive each other. Work together for reconciliation. Why? Verse 11. So that we would not be outwitted by... Anybody following along in their Bible? Satan. For we are not ignorant of his designs. The Lord's Prayer. Protect us from the evil one. Simple. Protect us from the evil one. And yet many times we'll wait out and say things and do things. And we need to keep in mind that we are about the Father's business. It reminds me again that this past week, the Lord gives us so many opportunities. And this week I was able to visit with Wade Martin. What a blessing. We had a whole afternoon together. And then on Thursday, this is just a couple things, I went with Judea and Holly over to middle school. You want to try something different if you're an old guy. I haven't been in school for a long time. And I'm standing there watching them feed 800 kids. 800 kids were there from 10:30 to 1:30, passing out flyers for the game club that's coming up here at the church. You get everything from kids walking by you like this. Whoops, I'm going to fall yet. Anyway, then there's others. And here's what really, really stood out to me. These children are going to lunch. And those who had been a part of the game club wanted to come up and talk to us. There was a relationship that had been established. They had been reconciled to those of us who were there. So we're passing out these flyers. And when they come in, I'm passing out these flyers. And I don't want that. They don't even want to look at me. They don't want to talk to me. Well, the truth is, if you take your kids to school, a lot of times they don't want you to talk to them while the other kids are around. It's embarrassing. Do you know that? In any case, what I found out very quickly was, especially in the fifth and sixth grade, was when they came back from lunch and the kids had all been talking about it, I passed out 8 of them in a row. I couldn't get them out quick enough. Now, I don't know how many will show up here, but they're going to need workers. The fields are ripe unto harvest. Decisions. But God has laid out a plan for us. And so when we look at this passage, there's so much here. There's so much here, and I could do it so little justice. But in the process of looking at these things, and as I said, encouraging and thinking, act, the challenge is to act. And when we act, we don't have to have the answers. If our yes is in Christ, something good is going to happen. And it's not going to be measured by us, because it's going to glorify the Father. So in reflecting on all this, let us remember that in 2 Corinthians 4 and 1 and 2, and there again, I'm moving ahead. It's hard to say anything about one part of this book. It's a whole letter. And each connection puts it into a different context, but listen, in reflecting, I want to remind us of that word be, because what we become what we do. We become what we think. We become by our actions. And so therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. Boy, there's so much there to take in. That's 2 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. And then finally, there is triumph in Christ. If we look at that verses 12 through 16, it says, when I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, even though a door was opened for me in the Lord. All those things that Paul is talking about. You can go back to Romans, you've got 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, it goes on and on. All the things that Paul was a part of, it was for one purpose. Eric preached a tremendous message a few weeks ago from chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. The gospel of Jesus Christ. He went to that cross because the Father loved him. He was here to fulfill the will of the Father. Whatever your vocation is, that's great. Do it to the best of your abilities, but glorify God. Whatever your career is, that's fine. Do it to the best of your ability, but glorify God. He's the one who's called us. He's the one who has provided his son for us to follow him. And then we find that in this passage here, as Paul is preaching the gospel of Christ, even though a door was open to me, my spirit was not at rest because I did not find my brother Titus there. So I took leave of them and went to Macedonia. But please, young people, hear this. It's not, I don't have any original words. This is God's word. You ask him what it means. And I, if you're anything like I am, it's really not about knowing. It's more about not understanding. But as we share the word together, the understanding will come. And so Paul says there in verse 14, but thanks be to God, who is in Christ, always leads us. I got to repeat that. God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession. Always. And through us, now listen to this, through us, spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. I have to admit something here in front of this congregation. There for a while, I had a problem within myself understanding what the value of game club was. I'm not a gamer. You see, the problem wasn't the game club. The problem was I didn't have an understanding of what was going on. So as the understanding develops, and all of a sudden I'm standing there, and did we get to talk to all 800? No. But we passed out 250 flyers. How many will come here? I don't know. But here's what I will tell you. One of the teachers walked up to us, says, and thanks us for what we're doing. She said there's really a buzz going through the cafetorium, I guess they call it. There's really a buzz going through here today because of what you're doing. See, that's the start of a relationship. That's a start of the reconciliation to God. It's not what we're doing, because if it's what we're doing, then we want to come in and do it. Ask Linda. I like to fix things. I don't want to talk about them. I want to fix them, and I want to do it right now. That don't work too good most of the time. But you see, as I understand better and better, the most important thing that is going on is our relationship. And that relationship that Linda and I have is determined by God. So glorifying Him, as the time we've been together, we grow closer and closer together all the time. One of these days, she's going to agree with me on that. We do agree on that. So, verse 15, for we are the aroma of Christ to God among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. Wow. You mean I have to go out into this world and associate with those people I don't like? Yes. You mean I have to... Yes. Not only that, He wants me to walk in the Spirit. He wants me to suffer along with Him being the Comforter. Think about that. He suffered so you and I can live. He suffered so you and I can be comforted. We all question that. We all have a problem many times understanding that. Be faithful. And so finish up with verse 16. To one is a fragrance from death to death, and to the other a fragrance from life to life. Who is sufficient for these things? Oh, how I would encourage each one of you to go through this passage on your own. And just take it in and ask the Lord, Lord, help me to understand. Help me to walk closer to my brothers and sisters in Christ. Help me to be that fragrance, that aroma. And as I close up here, I pray that our minds are taking in what the Holy Spirit has left us with. And I want to remind us again of the call to follow Jesus. If perchance you were here today and you do not know Jesus, talk to myself or Andy Heininger, wherever the elders are, or Maria. Talk to me, talk to someone. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to believe what He says. And so if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God, and it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. In the beginning of this message, I was talking about we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. You don't have to go anywhere to say what is the will of God on that. He has said, His word says, He has given us, the church, the ministry of reconciliation. I'm going to step out into some of that deep water here because it doesn't affect you folks here, but I've sat in meetings with a large number of pastors. And I made the statement one time in front of a group of pastors, just because we're all sitting in the same room doesn't mean we're reconciled. It doesn't mean we're in unity of spirit. I was told to shut up. The truth of the matter, though, is the Spirit of God is what draws us together. The Spirit of God is what reveals the truth to us. It's the Spirit of God that we're called to walk in. And so, to think, I want to encourage you, what Jesus said is, my grace is sufficient for you, For my power is made perfect in weakness. I had to deal with that this week because in my flesh, I can't do this. And then as I think about that and act upon and am challenged, bring holiness to completion in the fear of God. There's only one thing that brings holiness. It's worship. It's worshiping God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It's reconciling ourselves to the reality and truth that when we follow Jesus, He has filled us with the Holy Spirit, His Word. They're not separate. You must take in the Word. We must hear the Word. And then begin to practice the Word. And then finally become. Now, I can stand here before you again and I can say, let's reflect on something. I'll reflect on what I said. We'll be here another hour. No. Think of it this way this week when you go out into your community. What are you reflecting? What are people seeing? What kind of light? What kind of darkness? What is it? My prayer is that you and I together will reflect that this ministry, the reflection will be this ministry by the mercy of God. And while we're out there ministering, do not, whatever you're doing, no matter how weak you feel, do not lose hope. Do not lose heart. For in Christ, all things are possible. Look at the cross, and you can say these words, you can mouth these words, or whatever you want to. But He said the same thing to each one of you that He said to me. It is finished. It is finished. I'll close on that. It is finished. Thank you. And I believe at this time we do have, I know we have, circle groups. The Byron group meets back here. Which one meets out here? Huh? Okay. And then up in the upstairs there, the first, who? Okay. I got it. Is there any others? Okay. Multi-purpose room. Everybody got that? Now I've got it all. All right. So, you go into your circle groups, there's some thoughts there, and you can ask questions, discuss. My prayer would be that in some small way, there are a few questions about this passage. I know I still have a lot of questions. But the time to discuss them is in circle groups. So is there anything else that needs to be said before I close the benediction? All right, if you'd all possibly stand, I'll give the benediction. You are the body of Christ. May you have the heart of Christ, tender for mercy. May you have the eyes of Christ to see a world in need. And may you have the feet of Christ to bring good news. And go in peace, and God go with you.